For that, invite you to take your Bibles, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is really tricky for those that are recording the message and uploading things, because I wanted to catch just a little last bit of the message that I couldn't quite finish last week. So I'm going to have a What does God expect of wives, part two. And then I want to get to verse 7 this week. What does God expect of husbands? And so the first part of the message is the last part of last week's message. And then I'll try to get verse 7 here today. So two messages for the price of one today. What does God expect of wives? We've talked about this from verses 1 through 6 in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, by the behavior, the lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6 in just a moment, but last week we looked at the fact that there was a published command. What does God expect of wives? Well, here's the published command. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And there's no way to get around that. I was talking with a gentleman last week who was visiting. He's from England. He said, well, in England, we would say, wives, obey your husbands. You know, it's the same thing, right? Oh, can't get around it. It's published. It's a command. Can't squirm out it. We saw the reason last week, because it's a powerful conviction to the husband that if any obey not the, in talking about husbands, if any obey not the word, probably unsaved husbands, but perhaps even maybe some husbands that have fallen away from the Lord, they also may without the word be won by the behavior, the conversation, the lifestyle of those wives. So here's the published command. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And here's why. It's a powerful conviction for your husbands to either be brought to the Lord or for your husbands to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then we saw that it was this submission, God's expectation is that wives submit to their husbands. This is a priceless commodity. We saw that it's not that of outward appearance. It's not what you wear. It's not your makeup. It's not your hair that makes the difference. It's the heart. It's the inward person. What's truly valuable, what makes a woman truly beautiful, is their chaste, verse 2, conversation coupled with fear, verse 4, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. What characterizes these women is meekness. Not insisting on their own way, their own rights, it's strength under control. And what characterizes these women is peace. They're not restless. They're not all worked up or anxious. They're at peace. They're trusting. And of course, then the next question comes, oh, is this even possible? Is this expectation that God has for wives so far outside the realm of possibility that it's just kind of pie in the sky? No. Then he gives some examples here in verses 5 and 6, and so we see that this published command is actually a possible choice you can make. They give examples, right? For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. We see this all throughout the pages of Scripture. We saw that it was the prerequisite for the making this choice is that these women were holy and that they trusted God. This week, as I was having my devotions, I ran across an interesting little devotional thought. This was by Evelyn Christensen. She said, "When I've met God in the morning before my husband wakes up, Chris," that must be your husband, "faces a different person because I have been in the presence of the God of the universe. Most people would rather change their spouses with words. However, when we learn to pray, we don't have to preach. We don't have to say a word. We've switched the emphasis from, 'Lord, change him,' to, 'Lord, change me.' As God began to change me through prayer, my husband saw a person who truly desired holiness and who was growing more Christ-like. For a long time I prayed, 'Lord, make me the wife you want me to be.' Then one day God said to me, 'You've got the wrong emphasis. It's not 'make me the wife you want me to be,' but 'make me the wife you want me to be.' The first concern for a married person is not what kind of mate his or her spouse desires. The primary issue is rather, 'Lord, what do you want me to be?' It calls for close communion with God to know the difference." And so we have examples in the pages of Scripture, but we have examples even from dear ladies today that have made that choice to obey God and follow what the Word of God says. So we stopped here last time. Three principles. We saw the prerequisites. Now three principles that kind of guide us in our choices. Verse 6, "Even as Sarah," this is Abraham's wife, "obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Principle number one, show respect even when you don't agree. And I think here's a good example, a very interesting example. Abraham, as good a man as he is, was full of faults too. He was a human being just like you and me. And he got to a spot in life when he was fearful. And he was afraid when he went down into Egypt that when they found out that Sarah, his beautiful wife, was married to him, that he would not be long for this world. They would kill him off and that Pharaoh would take his wife into his harem. And so Abraham, for fear of his own life, and again, this was not biblical. The fear of man brings a snare, and you see Abraham falling into this headlong. And by the way, it wasn't a one-time occurrence either. This happened a couple of times, right? At least twice. And Abraham says to Sarah, "Now, Sarah, if they ask you if you're married to me, if you love me now, don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister." Now, that was technically true, technically speaking. But Abraham put his wife in a terrible spot. And sometimes husbands can make choices and decisions that put the whole family in kind of a terrible spot. A terrible choice has been made. Maybe a goofy purchase when you don't have the money. Or whatever it is, a terrible decision, and how are you going to respond as a wife when your husband has made a terrible decision? You show respect even when you don't agree. And Sarah is a good example of that. As we continue reading in verse 6, "Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well." Here's our second principle. Do what's right, no matter the cost. Now, just because you reverence your husband doesn't mean that you should ignore the law of God or the law of man. Say, "Pastor, are you saying that if my husband beats me, I'm just supposed to take that? Or if my husband tells me to do something that's not right, I should just do it because I'm under submission?" No, that's not what I'm saying. It's do right. Do what's right, no matter the cost. Do you realize if a husband is physically abusing his wife, do you realize that that husband is breaking the law? It's actually right to get help. It's actually right to report. Why? Because there's a law being broken, there are lives being broken, It's not just the wife, but it's also the children in the home. And so it is that sometimes very tough situations, if a wife knows that a husband's abusing a child, the right thing must be done, no matter how hard the cost. Some people have looked at Jesus' suffering here early on and said, well, Jesus suffered, so the wife just needs to suffer. Well, that was suffering that was done in the will of God for a greater purpose. This is something totally different. And by the way, even in the Greco-Roman world, husbands were not allowed to abuse, physically abuse their wives. They could verbally abuse, but they couldn't physically abuse. And so it is today. Wives, just do what's right. Sometimes you take the verbal abuse. Sometimes you speak up and say, hey, that's not right. We need counseling. We need help. By the way, notice how I said that we need help. It's always better when you say we instead of you need help. Sometimes you can help your own cause there, right, by being wise in how you say it. But and by the way, Peter's very sensitive to this whole abuse situation. This is not just a 21st century America problem. This is a problem through the millennia. This is a problem of people abusing authority and a power, right? Because this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And beyond, actually, Satan himself. And so we're going to catch this in just a moment, what Peter has to say to the husbands. But God's expectation for the wives is to submit. And here's the third principle. End of the verse. And are not afraid with any amazement. Don't live in fear. Trust God. Don't live in fear. Don't be frightened by that which is alarming to you. Don't live in fear. Trust the Lord. Recently, we had the opportunity to run into a young lady whom we had spent some time with years ago. Well, we lived in Chicago. There was a young lady who was the same age as our oldest daughter, Ruth. And we had moved into the same neighborhood where this family lived. In fact, we even considered buying their house at one point, but that didn't work out. And then later on, I ended up leading that husband to the Lord, the dad to the Lord. And so then they started coming to our church, and we started to get to know them better. And then they went to she went to our Christian school, and she made a profession of faith at a Christian camp. And so we're really starting to get to know this family and get to know this young lady. Well, the young lady's mom was a very high-powered, well-paid jet-setter mom, traveling all over the country all the time. The dad was a mail carrier, a mailman, and so we would take the kids to and from the school every day, and sometimes they'd stay at our house waiting for mom to get home from work or dad to get home from work. So we spent a lot of time with the kids, and they had a little baby girl as well. So they had two girls in the family. And I remember one day in Sunday school class, the parents were sitting in my Sunday school class. We were talking about the role, what God's expectations are for husband and wife. We talked about submission. We talked about husbands honoring their wives. We talked about the wonderful privilege it is for a mom to influence their children for eternity. And I don't know what was said or what was interpreted or that, but the mom got mad. And she just decided, I'm not going back to that church ever again. That was very disheartening for us. So we're talking to this girl not long ago, and she said, growing up, she always wanted to be just like her mom. You know, here and there, and making a lot of money, and important, and powerful, and it's the fast life, exciting. That she wanted to be just like her mom. Well, because of that kind of lifestyle, there was friction in the home, ended up having a divorce. And this young lady became very bitter And as a result, she ended up getting involved with a guy, ended up having a child out of wedlock. The guy disappears. And now she's alone in the world with a child with some physical disabilities. And then the young lady, who's now a single mom, finds out she's got a stage 4 cancer. We met her a couple of weeks ago, and she said, unbeknownst to us, she was telling our daughter this. She said, you know, I always want to be just like my mom. But you know, since I've had a child myself and I've come back to the Lord, I remembered all those times that I was at your house and your mom was making chocolate chip cookies and your mom was cleaning and your mom was driving back and forth picking up kids and your mom was changing the diapers and your mom loved your dad and your dad was there. She said, I want to be just like your mom. And now my wife is like her hero. You know, there's something about what God says. It's just right. It's just what we were made for, that we respond to. I am not saying that wives cannot work outside of the home. That's not what I'm saying. But what if your husband says, don't work outside the home? Or your husband says, work outside the home. All right, that's where, and by the way, you notice how Peter doesn't give us specific applications. Because every family is going to be a little different. And there's going to be certain circumstances or situations, and these the husband and wife are going to have to figure it out. But in the end, wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, that's impossible. Ladies have been doing it down through the years. It is possible by God's grace. So that leads me now to verse 7.